14 months since our last episode, Break for Frogger, Carlisle's semi-popular based gaming podcast, returns zombified to the fore. My name's Cameron Phillips, and I am here with my broadcast colleague,
Jordy Al.
And down the internet pipe,
and Ewan Taylor, indeed.
That's Ewan Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, down his loneliness pipe. Put things in it if you want to, and make it a non-lonely pipe, and it'll all be fine. Right. Yeah, this episode's just going to be a bit... I don't think it's even going to have a number or a series number.
I think it should be called Break for Frogger -1.
-1, and we just count backwards from now on. Yeah, that's probably going to be the best bet, actually. I might go with that one. -1.
Can we not just call it Break for Frogger Infinity?
That makes it...
Because that way
makes
it never
sound like we should have be rescuing a girl from a clock tower who's been guarded by a big metal bird. That's infinite, sorry, isn't it?
That.
Never mind. Yeah, we're just going to make this a really basic episode, see how it goes. We were requested at the last ConCon to bring back Break for Frogger, so this is us doing it. Keep it really basic now. If it gets sort of feedback and people actually start responding, which is more than what we got from when we did it on a regular basis, then we'll maybe start thinking about expanding it beyond that. But at the moment, straightforward, vanilla, in the raw. It's the Ken Loach episode, think of it that way.
Is he the blog off Coronation Street?
No.
Oh, right.
Just, he's a film director.
Oh, right.
No, never mind.
Bill Roach, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, that's Bill Roach, yeah.
Hey, the last time we did this, he was a respectable member of the community, was he not?
And now he's Operation U-Tree.
Not.
Never mind. Yeah, because at one point, Claire's just got home from work, and we're in the kitchen, and at one point she will come in and probably start making food, so you'll probably be able to hear that in the background. It's in the raw. It's real life. Anyway, let's talk some games and what you've been playing. Hopefully not what you've been playing over the last 14 months. Let's keep it recent, because we're trying to keep this as compact as possible.
I don't do recent.
No, you don't anyway, so that's okay. Ow.
Are we talking about as recent as Ninja Turtles 10 minutes before we started this? So.
Yeah, you were playing Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Because my boy was playing it as well. Kyle was playing
it. He was indeed.
He's got well into his Ninja Turtles in the last sort of 2 weeks or so.
Oh, I remember the days fondly.
Yeah, but I bet you always do. You always really do remember days fondly.
I do.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you, personally, you been
Mate,
playing?
Mate, I thought we'd start with Ewan, because his is all more up to date than mine. And then we'll come down. We'll start with a high... And then we'll come down to the law.
Al, people have requested us to come back just to hear your sexy voice.
We've had a message saying we want to hear Al's stories.
But Lilla heard it now and shot the law, and then they'll be off to bed, no?
You are drastically underestimating our audience's stamina.
All right then, okay.
I'd like to think.
If ConCon didn't teach you anything, it's our guys have got a lot of stamina,
yep.
And I'll leave it at
that. Let's have a think. What have I been playing in the last 14 months?
Just recently.
Oh, right. Ninja Turtles, next Ewan.
Okay, right, then 14 months then.
I'll save some of them for my Retro Games Emporium later on. And really, not a lot, which probably doesn't surprise anyone out there. It's What did you expect to play?
I don't know. I thought you'd be playing something in the last more than a year.
We played Monopoly for the Xbox.
Brilliant. Do you never wonder with video game conversions of a board game, you kind of wonder to yourself, right, why would I pay 40 quid and play it on my Xbox? Why would I not just pay 20 quid and have it as a board game?
Yeah.
What big advantage have you got playing Monopoly on
your
Xbox?
You don't need friends.
And you've got none. So
I can have virtual friends.
You can have virtual friends.
I don't have to play with a cat.
Do you play with cats often?
He's the boot, and I'm the iron. But he keeps winning. I don't like it.
Does he?
Yeah.
You get financially outwitted by a feline.
Yes, he's very good. Very good at it.
All right. Okay. That's okay. That's fine.
He invests his money in milk. He's very clever.
Oh, cunning, sly cunning.
I think we're deviating a bit already.
A little bit, yeah. I was going to say we're getting majorly. The playing ability of Monopoly and cats is quite. Remarkable deviation.
What we've learned so far is Al is tricked by pussy. Cats.
Jesus Christ. Come on. I'll try to keep this as clean as possible.
But it never used to be.
No, I know it never used to be, but now we've got, we might have a new audience if we keep it as clean as possible.
We've got a PG audience now, have we?
Yeah, we've gone PG. But like WWE, we've gone PG.
Yeah,
I don't think we should.
Well, you can be like CM Punk and kind of sit there in a little while and rail against,
I'll drop a pipe bomb.
Yeah, a pint bomb. Drop a pint bomb out. Hey!
A lonely pipe bomb.
That's alright, that's fine. Right then, okay.
I've played one game, I'm there. Honestly, I'm racking my brains to try and think the last time I turned my Xbox on. Don't think it's been since 40 months. I don't think it's been. And I've put that on. Hey, packing them with the noises, eh?
What? I'm just counting you in.
I've played Monopoly. That should be good enough.
Monopoly, right.
Ninja Turtles.
That's going to go top of the list of this episode. We discuss Monopoly. Jesus Christ.
What? You don't wheel me out for my modern game playing abilities.
No, we don't. True, we don't. So what have you been playing?
Right then. After me and my cat finished at Monopoly.
Right.
Yeah. I've been wheeling out my old Super Nintendo.
Right.
And of course my old N64.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you about them because they all come later.
Are they coming later?
They're coming later. It's, yes.
Story of your life, Al. You're always coming later.
It is.
Anyway.
I told you to start with Ewan, didn't I?
Keep it right, okay. Ewan, what have you been playing?
Hello.
Seeing as Dusty Boy here,
well,
you're going to give us any details.
you can stop trains on Monopoly.
To be honest, I'll remember the name of the game.
It is actually, yeah,
right.
It's true.
Let's be fair. Right, I am going to talk about a game that is, I think, just recently come out. It's called Papers, Please.
Now, no, and I've seen this mentioned
game?
On Twitter a fair bit, but I have absolutely no idea what it's about.
Well,
okay.
Let me explain. Okay, you are part of a country, a fictional country, called Arstotzka, which has just come out of a 6-year war
right.
with one of their neighbours. And they've reclaimed their kind of half of the town in a town called Greston. You get picked out of a labour lottery, and your job is to be the immigration officer. So, your job, as you might have guessed, is to work at the border and basically cycle through people, check everything out, and make sure that they're allowed to enter the country. Now, I know this sounds dull. Trust me. This is one of the most engrossing puzzle games I have played in a long time.
This doesn't sound dull to me. This sounds bizarrely interesting.
Well, yeah. Basically, what you're given at the beginning, initially it starts off with, right, only let our Arstotzkians in, don't let anyone else in. So your interfaces, you've got on the left-hand side, you've got kind of the window, and you can see who's coming in. You've got a little bit, they give you the documents, so
right.
be it passport, whatever. You've got a rule book, which the Ministry of Admission give you, which gives you the rules of, you know, what the passport should look like, what seals should be on it, what information you've got just now, what the rules are at the moment. Basically, you're given kind of objectives for the day. The ideal basically is you've got a family to feed, you've got to get through as many people as you can, but at the same time you cannot be breaking the rules, because if you break the rules
right.
you will get fined, and getting fined means you can't eat or be, you know, warm
yeah.
or anything else. So like I said, day one starts off, you're getting people through, all you're doing is checking the passports, making sure the right country's there. Great. The next day comes. Right, people now need to have an entry ticket. So you've got a passport now and an entry ticket to check. A few days later, after a suicide attack, you now need to check for an entry ticket or a work permit or an entry
right.
visa. And also the passport, you've got to check the issuing town is correct. You've got to make sure it's the actual
uh-huh.
person that's there. So you can tell how very quickly this game can get very, very complex, but at the same time, not complex to the point
you
don't
sure
know what's going on.
Are you sure you're not really just doing a border control on Mexico?
This sounds like NHS vouchers at work.
you're just doing it via computers. You're really checking your...
Well, that's the thing about it as well. I work in a call centre, and the tasking is very repetitive, but you get into it. I mean, I sat and played 2.5 hours one night without even
wow.
realising.
That's good. If you can get through 2.5 hours and it's not even going to phase you, then yeah.
And here's the thing. The game lasts
uh-huh.
31 days, which takes you about 4
right.
hours to complete. However, there are 20 different
really?
Endings. Yes. And you don't need to get to the end of the 31 days to get
an
ending.
Right. Okay.
For example, in one of my games, I ran out of money. I was thrown in jail because I'd defaulted. Another one, I accepted the bribe. I moved my family to a better house. The government noticed. I was thrown in jail.
So you said 20 different endings.
I think
yes.
jail probably features quite heavily in most of the bad ones.
Jail and, you know, the reasons for it. But also, you've got kind of, you know, if you maybe let a terrorist through,
well,
you can get in trouble for that. Well, yeah. And, you've got, in between all this as well, you've got kind of recurring characters. This one guy who, the first time he turns up, he just says, you know, our Arstotzka is great, yeah, let me in. Doesn't have a passport. So obviously you tell him, look, you need a passport to come in. Oh, you don't need a passport, this country's great. You don't need anything like that. You go, no, pal, you need a passport. Go away. So he comes back 2 days later with a passport that, for want of a better term, looks like he has just drawn it with crayon. So again, you turn him back and he goes, oh, you funny man, this is a really secure border. And this
mm-hmm.
happens for about a week. Until eventually he's got everything he needs. But at that point, you're like, why is this guy trying so hard to get into my
yeah.
country? Is there a reason behind it? So at that point, you can either decline his entry, but you'll get in trouble for it, but you might end up saving something in the end, or you let him in and deal with the consequences.
So he's what, like he's like a comedy terrorist or something? All right, okay.
Yeah, kind of like that. And also every day, you know, you might not even get through a full day. Within the kind of the first 2 days, your day is cut short because, well, somebody tries to scale the wall at the border and, well, it doesn't end well, put
no,
it that way.
No, people scaling walls over borders never usually ends well. That's usually sniper rifle
no,
territory.
No, generally it is, yeah. But, no, the it's a very kind of pixel art style, and also it brings up a lot kind of weird points as well. At one point, you're told, right, you've got to scan all people from a certain country, which happens to be the one you're at war with. But there's no discrimination. There's no, right, you only scan men, don't scan women. You have to scan every single person. And let's put it this way. The scans are very detailed. As in, nothing's left to your imagination.
Right.
Now, that is a setting you can turn off if you want. And
you
obviously
do what?
Al, you've got to imagine the game's set in 1982. What you're seeing is not really that good.
1982 is a good year. Vintage.
Not if the person was born in 1932.
We're combining naked people with the 1980s, and Al's getting excited.
I know.
You should have thought
really
of this before you combine these
it.
Two things in a sentence.
So, think about it this way. You've got to concentrate on making sure you're meeting all the rules, concentrate on getting so many people through, and also looking out for anything weird in between. Now, this game is £7.
I was going to say, what format is on? Is this on Steam?
This is on Steam. You can get it on Good Old Games and also on the Humble Store as well. So Mac or PC compatible. Right. It's running on my piece of shit 5-year-old laptop, so it'll run on anything reasonably new. Should you buy it? I would say definitely. If you're not sure, there is a free link to the demo if you want to have a quick play with a couple of days, which I'm sure we could put in the notes for the episode for anyone that might be interested. But it's a kind of hard game to describe. It's more one that if you've read about it or heard about it and are curious, at least try the beta. And then if you feel, you know, this might actually be quite fun because there's so many little intricacies of what you... Because you could end up with like a passport, a permit, an identity supplement which confirms their height and weight, a vaccine certificate which confirms what they're vaccinated against, because obviously you can't be letting people through that are maybe going to spread a disease in your country. And also you're looking out for, you know, usual stuff, guns, contraband,
etc. Yeah, keep looking for the guns
and the explosives
don't
as well. But it's just really... It sounds dull as hell, and I understand why people are like, alright, I'm bored, stop talking. But it's a game I thought I'd give it a go, but I've got weirdly engrossed in it, and I'm finding myself playing at least like an hour a night.
When you say it sounds deathly dull, to some people it might, but I think it is like generally this antithesis to like the AAA games that you get on, you know, consoles, things like that. You know, I quite like the idea of PC gaming having little kind of sort of little niches like
niches.
This. And obviously, this will be a comment on immigration and things like that, won't it? And totally.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's fine, and for games to carry that message like that is a good thing.
Papers, Please, it's $6.99 on Steam. I imagine it's the same price in Good Old Games in the Humble Store. If you're in any way curious, give the beta a try, or do what I did, just plonk down the £7. You could waste £7 on, you know, a reasonably new game that might disappoint you entirely, but if you think this might be your kind of thing, and even if you don't, give it a go. You'll be very surprised how much gameplay can be involved. And that's
what
I've
been
playing.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
That's Well, you know, we're trying to keep it compact. I could jibber on some more if you want.
No, so we'll keep it compact. Keep it nice and compact. I have, since we did last did Bait for Frogger, I think Kyle, my son, for those who don't know, has got more and more into his video games. He started playing a lot more video games.
Yes, dad's doing a good job.
Credit myself with that one, but you know. But you know, he's generally getting into a lot of, you know, good stuff. And I'm trying to... Basically, I'm trying to teach him that, you know, gaming does not end at being plonked in front of Modern Warfare, basically, at the age of six. So it kind of, bizarrely, in a stereotypical way, has reunited me with my love of Nintendo. Yeah, because for ages and ages, I mean, I had a Super Nintendo, missed out on the N64.
Your what?
I had a Super Nintendo, missed out on the N64. Uh-huh. I've got one now.
Best console ever.
All right. And then I had a GameCube... and then I had a Wii, but since it's that stereotypical thing, you bought a Wii and then you never really played it and all this kind of stuff. But because obviously the vast majority of Nintendo released games are, you know, suitable for his age group, it's just, you know, we've started to play stuff like he's so much into Smash Brothers right now. He really, really likes playing Smash Brothers.
I did see that the other day and I thought, that's interesting. Not interesting in kind of a bad thing, it's kind of really quite curious he's picked up that. What is it in particular he likes about it?
He likes sort of just the fighting mechanic. I think the novelty idea of Mario punching Bowser and all this kind of stuff, which is, you know, ticks a few boxes as far as he's concerned, and he just finds it a good laugh that... He started to play Mario Kart on the DS as well. So he found it quite funny that one of the arenas in Smash Brothers is a Mario Kart track, and you have to jump out the way of the carts as they come around the corner. And and it led to another couple of things. So like he loved, and still does love, going in Smash Brothers Melee Captain Falcon. So he I ended up showing him F-Zero GX, which he wasn't. He basically stood back and said, "Oh, I don't, I'm very good at this, because I can crash all over the place." But I showed him, you know, how to run a few tracks, and said, "Yeah, it is blindingly fast, Kyle." But because, you know, because like Link's
it's quite ridiculous.
He now wants to play Zelda, because
That's a different
level. I mean, I can sit with him and, you know, sort of run through stuff.
Yeah, of course. You could play and explain what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. He does that sometimes.
You know, he's still watching
it. If it's a little bit complicated, he gets a bit worried, he doesn't quite know what he's doing, then I'll take over and I'll show him what to do, and it's stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
But he's amused at stuff like that, and he just likes, you know, playing Smash Brothers for that reason, really. And I say it's expanding his knowledge of everything Nintendo related, really. Because he keeps asking me, you know, he was asking me the other day, who's Fox from? And I was like, well, he's from Star Fox, or Star Wing, the original one. And he's like, oh, can I play that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've not got any Star Fox, but we can try and track some down. So it's stuff like that that he's really enjoying, and he really loves it and thinks it's great. He's also commandeered my 3DS. That's another thing. I bought a 3DS about 2 months ago now, I think. Mm. I thought for the start of summer I would buy myself a 3DS. It was a toss-up between that and a Vita. In the end, a 3DS won out. And once again, that's kind of reaffirming my kind of love of Nintendo that I had when I was, you know, a kid and teenager and all this kind of stuff. Because a 3DS is a nice little bit of kit. I know a lot of people had a pop when it first came out, where it's not got any games on it and all this kind of stuff, but it's just, some of the stuff coming out on it now is phenomenal. I've got Mario Kart 7, and everyone, you know, is probably aware of the Con Mario Kart 7 nights. I've joined in a couple of them, not loads, but it's always good, with Evil Ninja Phil and Twan and people like that, which is bloody good. And Fire Emblem, I came in pre-installed with Fire Emblem, which I originally thought I wasn't really gonna like, mainly because I was thinking, oh, it's gonna be a bit Japanese RPG for me, and we all know how much I loved Final Fantasy. But it was but to be honest, it's I've played it more, I've given it a little bit more time, and it's, I can see now what the fuss is about. It's utterly phenomenal. I love it. I think it's great. And then they were doing a 2-for-1 deal on games. If you registered your 3DS and your friend registered theirs, you got like a free game to give.
Right.
And thank you to Kev from Sonic String. Hey, I ended up getting Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for free.
I was about to mention this, actually. Did you get Fire Emblem first or Monster
Hunter
3
first? Console came with Fire Emblem. I got Monster Hunter later. Downloaded that later.
Okay, what I was going to ask is, do you think your experience with Fire Emblem helped you enjoy it of Monster Hunter 3? Because I know you were really getting into that.
I had hardly played
Fire
Emblem when I got Monster Hunter.
Fire Emblem.
I played probably about an hour of Fire Emblem.
Because the thing with Monster Hunter, I've read anyway, is it's a game that, unless you're playing it with people, is very difficult to get into.
I've tried it for a few hours, and it's not really gripped me yet. I've not quite kind of... It's kind of slow to get going. But what really shone a light on it for me was when Boots was doing the multiplayer session at ConCon. And originally I was a bit oh, this is going to take a while, and I'm not quite sure we've got the time for this. And but in the end, it was like, no, we'll just... You know, I think it was three of us, four of us, I can't remember how many.
I think it was three and to four.
And then we sat in sort of pretty much the middle of the bloody room, actually, right in front of the bar, convenient. And we took down this kind of bizarre pterodactyl thing. I was a bit of a spare part because I didn't really have a clue what I was doing, but I just kind of sat there, hacky slicey, hacky slicey, hacky slicey.
You were
pretty much
support.
I was there to go, yay, and good on yous. I jumped on its head, hooray! And then it was, but I could, that to me kind of shone a light on, yeah, this is how good this game could be in multiplayer. And as part of the single player, I'll get back to it. But there is a lot of kind of like preparation for different hunts and, getting your maps together. And
yeah, so that's the one thing you've got to kind of get ready, because if you go with the wrong stuff, you're just going to get destroyed.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of 3DS stuff I've been playing, and a lot of, I'm trying to think what I've been playing on the Xbox. I recently bought Need for Speed Most Wanted. Which is, I mean, I was a big fan of Hot Pursuit. I loved Hot Pursuit. As anyone who listened to the old episodes of Break for Frogger, like from two, three years ago, will know, Hot Pursuit kind of took over my life in a big way for a good 6 months. Yeah, exactly. It was also obviously housed the Me versus Furiak 3 at Vanishing Point, which is one of the tracks in there, and we were knocking milliseconds off each other's time on a kind of daily basis almost at one point. Wasn't quite sure about the whole open city thing for Most Wanted.
When I first got it myself, I just remember Burnout Paradise and thought,
Burnout Paradise, Criterion's previous attempt at this was a little bit on the lame side. But they have obviously looked at that and went, well, this is probably where we went wrong. And they have geared up Most Wanted. I think it's the knowledge they gained from stuff going wrong in Burnout Paradise and the reaction to that, and the improvements obviously that Hot Pursuit's given them, has meant that Most Wanted is quite freaking phenomenal. I enjoy it.
Yeah, they've kind of went, what worked in Hot Pursuit? Right, let's transfer
what worked in Hot
here.
Pursuit, and what did we get wrong in Burnout Paradise? Combine the two, you've got Most Wanted, pretty much. And it works a treat. I love it. Absolutely love it. And the other day, after much hunting down and trying to check where it is and being told that, oh, it's a really rare game and you're not going to find it, and after missing out like being 11 quid on games on demand because I was away on holiday, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I found it secondhand in-game in Carlisle for 22 quid. So it wasn't bad. It's not got an instruction book, but I mean a kicky, kicky, punchy, punchy, big attack. Well, should be fine. And because it's on Games On Demand, you can download a PDF of the instruction book from Xbox.com anyway. So that's problem solved.
Yeah.
I've only had a little kind of moment. I bought the original version and then quickly traded it in because I didn't think I'd really got into it. But obviously this is kind of like, you know, Capcom doing their usual and coming back 6 months later. And
This is the Capcom. We are sorry for the first one edition. Here's the actual
one you should
game.
Have had. I'm a bit of a Capcom fanboy, but I kind of can't see the whole sort of slagging they get for basically draining money out of people.
Well, here's a quick test. Are you buying Ultra Super Street Fighter 4? Test confirmed.
Sorry.
So am I. So am I. I can't see Ultra either.
Yes.
Like, we were stuck on Street Fighter 2.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
So why is that doing Street Fighter 5?
Yeah. Because to do a new Street Fighter game from scratch would apparently take more money dedicated to it and more staff than Capcom can currently provide.
So the cheapskates is what you're trying to say?
Pretty much.
No, they're cost
pretty much cheapskates. But to be fair, you can kind of see it two ways. You can kind of say, they can't be bothered putting a Street Fighter V out, or you can see it as they are continually updating a now 3-year-old game in Street Fighter 4.
I think it's older.
At least 3-year-old game.
I think
game.
2009 Street Fighter 4 came out, and the release of the Super Street Fighter 4 was 2010. So yeah, 3 years.
I remember being in Edinburgh for the launch of Street Fighter 4.
So you were, right.
Yeah,
the T-shirt.
You had the big arcade there as well. It was good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, they're releasing the Ultimate Edition, which is like 5 new characters. All the backgrounds from Street Fighter X Tekken.
So hang on, 5 new characters. Is the game 40 quid?
No, it's going to be like a £10 add-on.
Oh, that's not
for like for the Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, which is the, but it's the same idea as what they did with Arcade Edition about a year ago.
So it's not like, really a new game in the sense of just adding.
No, it's just a bolt-on pack. But you'll be able to buy. It's, I think for like 20 quid, you'll be able to buy like a disc version of the whole game if you've not got, you know.
They're not going to gouge you in that. They're basically going, right, we know what this is. Give us 20 quid, you have a disc.
I mean, literally, they could do exactly the same with SmackDown and stuff. Say, well, WWE. Well, if a number now, couldn't they?
Yeah.
But they just don't.
Yeah.
There's that argument that, you know, I mean, I think FIFA did it last year.
Oh, was it for the Euros, wasn't
it? They had the Euro 2012 was just an expansion for FIFA 12.
Which is a pretty good idea,
which
really
was a smart-ass idea, you know what I mean? It worked quite well. There is that argument that once that they should just get the engine right, release a sort of fresh game every 2 years, and for every intermittent year, just have an update, a DLC update for like.
Because I think the WWE games are very little difference in between. They're trying to do a different story mode now, I believe. So we've had the Attitude story mode.
Now that 2K Sports have taken it over from THQ, they had the Attitude mode last year, so on WWE 13.
I think there was some Invasion mode the year before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, this year what they're adding in is a kind of 30-year celebration of WrestleMania, so you're going to be able to play like classic matches from.
They've already confirmed Warrior versus Hogan for WrestleMania 6.
I'm bizarrely that Hogan's in it.
Yeah, he is. He's confirmed.
I've read he's in it. Yeah,
I said when we talked about it, it was rumored, and everyone was a bit, well, he must be.
I just don't understand this TNA reference. TNA employment
It's Hogan, man. If they can get, you know, Hogan's face. Regardless of his ability these days, Hogan's face is recognisable to the mainstream.
Yeah. Does anyone know Flair made it?
No, I don't think Flair has.
It's obviously WrestleMania 8, that's all I'm thinking. So.
I know that Macho Man Savage from WrestleMania 7's in there.
Oh.
In one of the matches. But as it was pointed out on the guy that announced this on Smack Talks on YouTube, he said, the ending of that match involved Elizabeth and Sensational Sherry. So they're going to be in it, kind of thing. He was a bit like, you know, that was kind of the core ending of that match because Elizabeth got back with Randy Savage.
Yeah, that was
kind of thing. So he
I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I would be very, because obviously both being dead, sadly.
Well, but Sherry's in the Hall of Fame, so he's got more chance. But I don't know.
Yeah. I think we're lucky enough to get Savage in the game. Anyway, we're deviating onto wrestling.
It's video game wrestling.
Yeah, it's video game wrestling.
Let's not do that because this podcast will be like 8 hours long.
It probably would be. It would just be you and me chanting, "Watch New Japan," basically.
Yeah, I'm going to deviate very quickly. For the love of all that is holy,
New Japan.
Just watch it. Trust me. Please watch New Japan. I watch the Wrestle Kingdom 7 show. If you don't like it after that, I don't know what to tell you.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're not watching New Japan, then you need to rectify that.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with you.
I think that is just about it for me. One of the things that people mainly said to us when Break for Frogger was on hiatus was what happened to Jordi Al's Retro Games Emporium. It's my sad duty to report that for a long time the Retro Games Emporium lay empty, the economic crisis taking its sad toll on the small shop. But it was opened as a strip club, which meant that many a bemacked gentleman would queue up outside, which is no different from what it was before, really. But luckily, just for you listeners, as soon as we were encouraged to bring this back, Al managed to buy his building back, didn't you, Al?
I did.
It did seem to involve putting a lot of money into some woman's knickers.
Yes, it did. It was... Good job, there's plenty of room in there, but it's all the coppers went in there nicely.
Did all the coppers sitting there nicely.
And she waddled off a happy woman.
Yeah, she waddled off a happy woman. She was jangling.
I've managed to get my Emporium back. There's
a lot
of stains in the carpet I'm trying to get out.
I don't know. Where did they come from?
I don't know, but we're trying our best. It's renovating, you know.
Have you taken down the sign outside that still says Saucy Sluts?
Thought I might leave that up, actually. Yeah.
Probably attracts more business.
I would leave it up that way, entice them with horns,
exactly.
Get them with games.
Just go, you know, just have a guy walk in and go, "I was looking for the birds." Well, here's some games.
Yeah.
Here's some games. What do you want?
I think I'm going to leave the sign up. It's getting a new lick of paint, and I think we're going to be back open for business very shortly.
Excellent, excellent. A round of applause. Yeah. A round of applause for Alan's Retro Games Emporium back with us again.
With the Emporium, it's always nice to go out and find new games, and that's what I've been doing. That's what my Emporium's about, kind of this time is my quest to find. I say new games. That's not what I'm after.
That's a complete lie.
I'm after old games that I've not previously owned or quite hard to own.
Okay,
I've been lost. So since the 14 months we've last been here, I've had some little treasure trails and such like to try and hunt some of these down. Some nothing too rare because we have got budgets. But
fair enough.
I have spent nigh on £200, I would say, on retro games.
Really?
Not too many titles for that £200 either.
No.
But I'll go through them.
Okay, carry on, cool.
My first bargain, and I do apologise, I can't remember the exact title, was a shop in Newcastle. It was just a Newcastle Emporium.
Ooh.
And I picked up a Japanese copy of one of the early Fire Pros.
All right.
I'm sure it's like Fire Pro 2 off the top of my head. I can't think of the title.
What system is this on?
Super Nintendo.
On a Super Nintendo version?
And he was flogging it for £3, literally, because it's Japanese.
Really?
And I guess he just assumed that nobody in Newcastle owns a Japanese converter, so he'll never sell it. And then when
Isn't it cracking when you get little indie shops where the guy has no feckin' clue about values of anything? Oh, yeah. I've had one of those before in my life. A PS2 copy of Frequency. Bingo.
So yeah, that's I got that in for £3 and I took it home and played it, and it's you can't edit it, I don't think, anyway, obviously it's all in Japanese. But there's like rip off Hogan in it and the rest of it. Yeah,
there's a very lax attitude to copyright.
Yeah, in many Japanese games. Surprised when I got it though.
There's very basically he's got the WCW roster.
Yeah, pretty
on
much.
It.
So that was me first sort of bargain. Two games I remember. In fact, I got this from the same shop. This one. Does anyone remember Mission Impossible for N64?
Yes.
This is a game I played to death. Obviously in 98 or whenever it came out, and I never played since, but I always kept going in the shop to ask if he had a copy, because I know it's not really very rare, but I just didn't want to send off to eBay.
No.
So I used to go and ask for it, and he never had it. Went in 1 week, he's got 3 copies of it, hasn't he?
Oh, like buses, man.
You're like,
so, £8, I got boxed £8, I didn't think it was too bad, and I got it home, and oh my god, it's shite. I just can't. I just didn't remember how bad it was. It was just
The rose tinted throughout that game, weren't they? Yeah.
It was the controls are just all clunky and horrible. And
oh no.
Yeah.
Quick acid test though.
Yeah.
Is the guy in it based on Tom Cruise?
Don't think so.
Does it look like Tom Cruise?
It's difficult to tell because he doesn't look like anyone. I'm trying to remember any other characters that were in it that might have been in
it. It's got to be specifically Tom Cruise.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know why I'm asking?
Is the answer no? Because he's on the front of the box and I don't remember him looking
like
Tom
Cruise. Is he on the front? Right. Because do you remember the Minority Report video game?
Don't, but it's probably as good as the film. Yeah.
No, well, yeah, it's a bit rubbish. But the Minority Report video game is renowned as having a completely different looking guy as the main. It's the same story as the film,
right?
But it's got a completely different guy playing look wise.
Is it the whole copyright thing? Yeah.
No, it's not. Apparently, and this is. I'm trying to determine whether this is utter rubbish, I've been told, or not. Part of the whole Scientology thing is that he can't have his
image
likenesses image, reproduced.
Oh.
In like game form or anything
figures,
of like that.
Figures with that kind of
I don't know, but the reason why they had to change it all in Minority Report, make the guy like you know bright blonde and you know blue eyed and all this kind of stuff or whatever, completely polar opposite to what Tom Cruise is.
I don't know if this was before his Scientology is or not. I'm not sure when he started getting.
I don't know. But that's why I was kind of asking.
No, I can't. I'll have a look next time.
Yeah. If it's the same in Mission Impossible, then we might be onto something here.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
I remember that being the reason. Apparently, I was told that it was a whole Scientology thing. It might have just been because he just didn't agree with it or whatever, but it was apparently a Scientology thing. Carry on.
Oh, right. So, yeah, there was that game was terrible, so I was a bit disappointed about that. And then I hit eBay and bought a game called Rogue Squadron, one of the Star Wars ones.
All right.
Now, I've had this... I think it was... I could be wrong. In fact, I think... It's the second Star Wars game to come out on the N64. I don't know if that shitty Episode 1 Pod Racer was somewhere around there, but I don't count that because that's based on the new films.
That's just
a
game based on a scene from a film.
So Rogue Squadron I got, and this is a game I've owned twice in the past and traded in both times, but I thought I'll give it another go. That too was a pile of shit.
Oh man, you're not doing very well on this, are you?
But again, I didn't spend much, it was only like a tenner. I just thought it's one of them games I should buy. But anyway, back to me treasures. This is the treasures. There was a game I asked Cameron about. Was it Banjo-Tooie?
Banjo-Tooie,
yeah.
Which is the sequel, obviously, to Banjo-Kazooie.
That was that was an Oxfam.
Oof.
Now just before
you're going deep here.
Just before you go. Oh,
yeah.
Oxfam. Yeah, that's a nice charity shop. That you'll get a bargain there.
I remember this.
I paid £40 for this game.
There's some wee African eating quite healthily because of Al's obsession with Banjo-Tooie.
Some wee African eating, that's probably rules the country now with that money.
In charge of border control. No, I couldn't believe the price, but apparently when I looked it up on Amazon and stuff, £40 wasn't exactly a bad price for it. So
really,
yeah, it's not much. It's not much more, but yeah, it's boxing instructions and all the rest of it.
Banjo-Tooie is harder to find because, well, yeah, it didn't do very well.
I only played the first level of it. It seemed all right. The woman behind Oxfam couldn't. This old woman behind the till couldn't get her head round that I was paying £40 for this video game.
That would have confused and confounded. She probably thought it was laced with cocaine.
It was funny. I explained that. It was like, it was.
It's really rare.
It's like me. This is like going back to my childhood, you know? It's like my childhood memories and stuff. And I went to her, I went, surely you like listen to, like, you know, music brings you back to childhood and stuff. And she went, yes, it does, but even the Beatles is too old for me. I like Frank Sinatra and stuff. So
it is. Fair enough.
Showed you a generation. Yeah, sort of generation, just like, you know, the old stuff's my generation. But yeah, she was lovely, but yeah, she just couldn't get her head around that I was £40 for this game.
So, I have a question now. How come that you paid, you know, nearly 4 times the price of one game from Oxfam, yet the person in the place in Newcastle who didn't obviously have an idea what he was selling, you managed to get 2 bargains for under
£10? Well, he set the price. I just went in and said, how much you want from that? And he told us, so I paid it. That's all that went in.
Oh, see, he made the mistake
of... No, he named the price. He named the price, and I just paid it.
Oh.
But sadly I don't think I could haggle with Oxfam. There's some...
There's a little bit.
I would really actually do that. I would actually do it just to say I did it.
Dark.
Yeah.
Part of your mind then in that case that would come from.
I wouldn't haggle much. I'd maybe ask, you know, what about 35? Can we do that? You know, I'll also buy some Mills and Boondocks in as well. How about that?
Oh no! If this episode was going to have a title, it would now be Haggling in Oxfam. You know that, yeah. There we go.
Yep.
Right.
Last time I sent Oxfam, my soiled underpants. I'll tell you that. Anyway, and my final trade. Actually, no, there's two more. But I paid big bucks for this just because I had to have it, and it was Resident Evil 2 on the N64.
Now then.
How much did you pay?
£50.
Al, what is wrong with you? And where are you getting all that money from? And why are you not sending it to me and Cameron?
Because you don't have expensive. Well, you don't have video games to sell me.
But I could give you love.
That is tempting. I'll give you that, Ewan. I think it's called prostitution. But anyway, that's beside the point. Well, all right then. That's fine. Make it nice and legal. Anyway, what was I saying? Apparently, the largest cartridge ever produced, I believe.
It probably would have been, yeah.
Massive, and not only that. Obviously, not size-wise, it's not massive. It looks the same as everything else.
Yeah, I know. Memory-wise,
you can even change the zombie's blood to green.
Oh, so it's like. Would have been the German version.
It's Germany compatible. It's
Germany mode.
Oh, is that what that? Sorry, tell me.
Yeah, for ages. I don't know if it's the same now, but you couldn't have red blood in the German skin. Can you?
No,
still
you
not?
Still can't.
You can still have. You can have red. I think it's red, green, and blue. You can change what colour the blood is on the game.
Yeah, the green will be.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you want to know something equally rubbish? At the same idea
go
in
on.
Germany. Left 4 Dead 2 in Germany. The German censors had a really, really big problem when Valve presented Left 4 Dead 2 to them, or maybe even the original Left 4 Dead as well, because they were disturbed by the fact that a zombie can be on the ground and you can shoot it. Apparently that was a big no-no. You cannot shoot people when they're on the ground. So in a game of Left 4 Dead 2 in the German edition, if you try and shoot someone and they're on the ground, it just actually will not fire the weapon.
Oh.
They have to be standing in order for you to shoot them.
Strange.
Apparently... If you're playing on Xbox Live against random, or not against random, with randoms on Left 4 Dead 2, and someone from a German server on Xbox Live joins your game, it automatically changes the settings.
To German mode. Oh, right.
Yep, to Germany mode.
Oh, I did not know that.
There we go. Second title would be Germany mode.
I just think of all the stuff Germans don't censor, but yeah they do that.
But what don't they censor?
Oh, come on, you know what avenue I'm going down here.
No, I've no idea.
Let's move on.
Carry on.
Where was it? So yes, I've been playing that as well, which is I think it is plays a tiny bit different to the PS2 version, but PS1 version even. Don't think there's too much difference, but I did enjoy it. And the last one, and this I know I shouldn't have paid this for this, but it was like it's a sad part of me. I bought RoboCop versus Terminator for the Super Nintendo.
Okay, obvious question. How much did this set you back?
£44.
What?
Oh my god.
You are joking.
Now, you're mental.
Now this is what I'm thinking, because you can get it for the Mega Drive, but it's not as good. But it's
Al, it probably didn't cost £45
it's
either.
It's the PAL version, apparently it's very scarce. I could
really
could have got the American version for like 12 quid, which I was tempted. But
then, you've already got a converter.
I've already got a converter. But then I thought, this part of me, I won't be happy with the American version.
Holy!
So this guy, by the way, I ordered three games off the same guy. You must have thought Christmas had come.
He's probably dining quite healthily.
Packaged them all up, they're nice little boxers. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was quite pleasant. But yeah, that was I bought that as well. So that was my. That was my retro games.
45
adventure.
Quid.
Adventure.
Right. Have you played it yet?
Yes.
What is it like?
Now, I'd like to say shit, but it's not actually. It's not shit. It's quite addictive.
That's an advance.
It's quite hard, but I wanted to play it more. I did quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was quite good. Yeah.
It's just side school and shoot 'em up.
Oh yeah, it's very basic in that sense. But I quite enjoyed it.
Right. Christ alive. Is it 45 quid's worth of all?
Probably not, no. Oh, no. Not a table kicker. I forgot to tell you the kicker.
What's the kicker?
It had its box, didn't have no instructions.
Come on, you're not going to do instructions for Robocop versus Terminator.
Hey, it's complete. I've got to get, you know, you've got to have a complete package.
Yeah, for 45 quid, I would bloody hope you'd have a complete package.
Well, no instruction booklet. Back on eBay, £16, got the instruction booklet.
Ow. Sorry, hold on. Hold the phone.
What? Holding.
£16 for an instruction booklet.
Yes.
So you paid
£61. So Robocop vs. Terminator cost all in
for a complete version.
I think that's pretty much the summing up
of Robocop versus Terminator.
Yeah. Hang on. You've got access to the internet now. Look it up. Just look
I
it
do.
Up. And when you said it's there's one buy it now for £24, you can hear my tears live on air.
please, for crying out loud, let it be so.
Super Nintendo PAL version.
All right, hang on one second. I need to go to eBay.co.uk.
I'll edit all this bit out. By the way, it'll be all right.
Yeah. I'm just gonna look it up now. Okay, RoboCop versus Terminator. Hang on.
Probably from the Super Nintendo, yeah. Because apparently that's rare, you know.
It is, because don't seem to find one. Hang on one second. Games, here we go.
Oh dear.
Al?
Yes?
There is a copy on eBay for £5.15.
£5.15. Is that
a buy it now?
Yeah.
Boxed?
Yeah. Hang on. No.
Are you sure it's the PAL version?
Hang on. Is it? No, the guy says it's PAL.
Yeah, I thought
not.
So. Americans.
American
yeah.
I will tell you this, though. Guess how much the Game Boy version is by it now.
Original Game Boy?
Just the original Game Boy.
Well, for you to have a kind of guess how much, it must be a lot.
70 quid.
Nope. £30 by it now.
Jesus Christ. You could probably buy another bloody Game Boy for £30.
Let's see if we can find this online at all.
That's pretty much my... It's Ewan does his homework task there.
Yeah, you've set Ewan off now.
I have indeed. That's...
Hang on. Got it here. Okay, I have a boxed PAL Robocop versus Terminator. I need to do a conversion very quick because it's an Australian dollar. Right. So. 59.99 Australian...
$1 million.
This is thrilling radio,
great,
folks.
Yeah.
I know.
Australian. I would sit here and go Australian. Can you guess where it is yet? But maybe not after
right,
the operation.
Right. It, Al, if you bought it from this lovely gentleman on eBay, you'd have saved yourself.
It's still pretty high.
That's not devastating news, really.
But this does come.
There's a game show in here somewhere, isn't there? Yeah, just like, well, you've bought Robocop versus Terminator. How much do you think it's worth? Al could be like the David Dickinson of things. We should stick this on YouTube.
And just one more thing at my emporium before I go back
close
and
the night.
Empty the dust sheets and get it up.
Aye, I think Delilah's still in the back, isn't she?
Yeah, she was tied up when I got there.
Oh,
at least that's what I told the police. Okay. I bought a few wrestling games, and does anyone remember Nitro?
Yes.
Right, do you remember how shit it was?
Yes.
Well,
Nitro's a terrible
remember
game.
All my love of Rey Mysterio? I don't know if anyone knows my love of Rey Mysterio.
Your utter hatred of Rey Mysterio.
I made him wrestle a bear. That is correct. A hidden character.
By your own personal
amusement.
Yes, I know. You made Rey Mysterio wrestle a bear.
Wrestle a bear. The bear was called Ivan.
Ivan the bear.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I'm telling you, just wait. I think Vince is putting that on at SummerSlam. I really do.
Probably not now that Rey Mysterio's his knees ripped out.
Oh, well, maybe next year SummerSlam, then the bear versus
Rey.
I guess. Hey, what? One more thing I just thought about. We probably should mention the epic event that happened at
CONCON. Was CONCON or that happened at CONCON?
Well, I was thinking a particular event that happened at CONCON, an event so great that it's never ever been seen before and probably never been seen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to do?
I was actually thinking of the worst projector.
Oh, well, I walked in
created.
Halfway through that with Willie and Ross holding it up. Never mind.
Yeah, CONCON was a very drunken evening. As
it always is. They always scorching hot on top of that pub, man. That was the wall of heat that just hit you as soon as that you walked in those doors was unbelievable. It was a hot, sticky night anyway. Yes. But you know, to be in a pub upstairs above a pub where you couldn't open the windows because they're all sealed, and there was two fans in the ceiling. One was kind of going around at this kind of.
It looks like it was going to fall down, wasn't
it? It did, yeah. And the other one was okay, but it was just obviously just circulating hot air. Take 30 people, all of whom, you know, are, you know, 30 of us in a room that size. It was fairly packed at one stage, and there was a lot of body heat going in there, man. Yeah. That barmaid must have wondered what the hell she was facing for the night.
I think she probably wondered by the end of the evening where, like, you know, she was just getting drunk and requests.
Probably, yes. Yeah. She was cool. She was fine.
Cool.
They must have went, Rachel, you just go upstairs, there's some private party on, and then off she went. And I seem to remember, like, at one stage she looked across the bar and went, when they said games I thought you all meant Ludo.
Monopoly with cats. No.
Monopoly with cats. Yeah, that's next year.
What was that game we played you and I really liked?
Cars Without Humanity.
Cars Without Humanity.
That was one of my high points of the night.
That was quite cool. Yes, getting sort of different quotes on cars and having to answer questions using the quotes.
Yeah. I'm going to try to find a copy that's not going to cost me like 30 quid by a notes question.
Is it Robocop versus Terminator Rare?
It's actually that level.
Yeah, and pretty much. Yeah, but CONCON was a good giggle and a fantastic evening. And I do love CONCON nights. It is a highlight of the year. Yeah.
I was good that there was no football, but I did get No Mercy on Mario Kart.
You got No Mercy on Mario Kart.
And
you and me playing Mario Kart.
Some card game as well, which
was quite cool. That was quite cool. It's always good to see people. It's I've probably said it before, but I always walk in the doors of CONCON and then I hear my mum's voice when I was like a teenager in my head, because my mum always said, you'll never meet any new friends if you just play video games all day. And
and what you think
I always look and kind of go, here's like 30 people who I've met pretty much exclusively through video games, and all of them are absolutely cracking.
We did meet Jared and Phil, who are
Jared and Phil are amazing. I do like, you know, Jared and Phil. Yep. For the first time I met those guys, those were from, and that's what I mean, there's some people who had made phenomenal efforts, you know, I mean, Gerard had come over from Ireland and Phil had come up from Gloucester on the plane.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that was just absolutely brilliant that those two guys had managed to, you know, make it all there.
You know, Dave made it from whatever, you know,
Dave made
cave
it from
he lives in now.
The cave in the Highlands and got off the rig, which is good, you know, the wonderful Blue Oyster rig. Ah, yes, indeed. Anyway, you've probably noticed that there's been no Tom this evening. He says he'll be back on a semi-regular basis. We'll see if he can come back for whenever we tape the next episode, which will probably all depend on how this one goes down, really.
Yeah, feedback, people, feedback.
Feedback, give us a bit of feedback,
Feedback.
We are lovely
people.
We're
nice people.
I can be contacted on Twitter at Cripple H. That's with one P. Otherwise, it doesn't work as a wrestling joke.
Yep. You can find me at Wandering Yoon.
Jordy Allen.
At Jodie Allen, yes. Everyone you are indeed.
You don't tweet Al because
he reads, well, but he does not respond.
Don't worry. If anyone tweets me now,
this
I'll
is true. This is true.
About.
This is true.
Ooh, now then, that's a temptation for everyone. Just keep tweeting Al and just get his in email inbox completely full.
If you know what's going to happen, you're just going to have like pictures of Dave naked in a mirror now sent to your Twitter.
Excellent. What a note to end on. Lovely. If the Sonic Ring boys can do it, then so can we. But there you go. Anyway, as I say, I will be back hopefully next month. I've no idea. Depend on how many, as I say, respond and give us feedback, because that was the problem with the last time. It started to get a feeling like we're just, you know, doing it in a vacuum and no one was listening, and so we didn't really care.
Sure. So all you people that pestered us at ConCon, yes, Fury, I'm talking to you. Please, please let us know. And if you give back to us,
we'll make more. It's that kind of idea now. We'll make more as long as there is enough feedback coming through, and it's generally a two-way thing rather than just us shouting into a void.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In which case, we shall say good night for now.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.